This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the Golf Podcast. I've actually just remembered I own Mike a free lunch as well, so that's what you call starting the podcast with a bit of a downer.
Do you know what, Dave? I can't even remember who we picked. Who was it?
I picked Richie Ramsey and he missed the cut, so your three guys all made the cut, didn't they? So
yeah, they did.
I know I've lost that one. It doesn't matter who you picked.
It doesn't matter who I picked.
As long as he was in that top 70, which he was.
Was it probably
I think it was
Rumford.
Brett Rumford, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Bit
of success last week with Miguel Angel Jimenez, the mechanic, getting that share of fifth place. But it looked like midway through the event that he was going to contend for the title, but that never quite materialised in the European Masters, Thomas Bjorn winning.
Yeah, he was never quite close enough when Craig Lee had that great third round. That kind of knocked him away, really, didn't it? So, but Miguel played well. I wouldn't call it success as much as just getting our money back for the week on those bets, because he got a place, which is nice, and it just keeps it ticking along, doesn't it? But Miguel never really looked like winning, I didn't think, in the final round or two. Mm. And fair play to Thomas Bjorn, who, you know, a past winner at the course and who had every chance there. And, you know, I'm sure plenty of people will have picked him. It's just his current form was slightly questionable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He said going into the event he wasn't playing as well as he has done in the past going into Cranswick.
Yeah.
However, how many times do we sit here on a Tuesday morning and talk about putting winning championships?
Yep.
And again, with Thomas Bjorn, he had 9 single putts to start off the Sunday.
That helps, doesn't it?
That helps. And he went with... What he did was he went with the driver on the playoff hole, which I thought was a big contributing factor to his victory. Was a little bit more aggressive than Craig Lee on that hole, set up a wedge that set up the tournament winning birdie. But take nothing away from Craig Lee, his demeanour and attitude didn't change throughout that final round. He remained focused but remained relaxed as well, and I'm sure he will win events. But I don't know if you saw the 72nd hole. He was an inch away from
devilishly close,
winning that championship.
Yes, he was. But, I mean, for him, he's got to take the positive out of it, and that'll secure his card. It was a big prize at Cranswick, and he'll take confidence from that, no doubt. And getting beaten by Thomas Bjorn is no insult to anyone.
No. Very, very good closer, isn't he, Thomas Bjorn?
Yeah, he put it much better. I think he only dropped a couple of shots in the whole tournament.
Yep.
Which is quite remarkable, really. Because there are tricky little holes on that Swiss course. So, yeah, very good for Thomas.
Mm.
And, not so stunning for us, but we got a little share of one place, didn't we?
Yes. Let's have a look at these two events this week. The KLM Open and the BMW Championship are this week's events. The KLM Open is played at Kenema this year, having been at Hilversum Golf Club for the last 3 years, and Simon Dyson has a terrific record in this event. He's won
it
3 times.
He's cleaned up in this event, he really has.
He has, but he has also a superb record at this golf course, having won here in 2006 and 2009. Having read comments from players that have contended here in the past, Fisher and Dyson being a couple of those guys, they comment that the golf course is quite linksy, very exposed. And although there are a few tree-lined holes on this golf course, the wind can be a factor here. Fisher's actually likened the course to Sunningdale, and he won his maiden tour title here in 2007, beating a fresh-faced Joost Luiten,
yes,
who was playing as an amateur that year, back in 2007. Looking through past leaderboards here, Mike, I didn't notice any strong statistical trend.
No.
but what you do notice is that the leaderboards are populated by guys from the British Isles. It does seem that way. Looking at 2009, for instance, Simon Dyson won, Darren Clarke, who's won an Open Championship, Jamie Donaldson, who's won at Portrush. Both those guys finished tied fifth. And two Irishmen finished tied third, Damien McGrain and Peter Lorry. And the last four winners of this event at this golf course, all English or Irish. Dyson's won it twice, Fisher won it in 2007, and sandwiched in between, Darren Clarke won it in 2008. So there is that trend going on here.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that there, but yeah, very good point. I've not picked anyone from the British Isles, so that might be me sunk before we start. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's a kind of a linksy type course, isn't it? And they're the kind of players who can handle those kind of conditions and have a bit of creativity in the win would be on your mind, I guess.
Yeah, I've gone with two selections. One of my guys is from the British Isles, but the other one's not.
Oh, right. So all that hard research,
all that hard research.
Dismissed it out.
Not dismissed it out of hand. I've got one guy. I've actually got a couple of guys at big prices this week as my two selections.
You're having a go, aren't you?
I need to.
Who goes first?
You lead off.
Okay. Matteo Manassero is my first pick. It's really a price play at 25-1, Dave. I think he's better than all the players who are shorter than him in the market. There's some decent players in this event, but Matteo at 25, I think he's probably the best player in the field at his best. Hasn't been in stunning form, with a 53rd at Bridgestone and then a 72nd in the PGA, which isn't that much to write home about. Came and played in Switzerland last week and finished 34th, which wasn't, again, incredibly exciting. But after that, was quite a break from the PGA to the European Masters. So I'm just hoping that he can show his best links form. It's been a bit spotty, his form in links events in recent years. But at his best, he's got some good open finishes. And he's just got the kind of game that should suit here, I think. So Matteo is my headline pick. A little bit of a gut feel pick, dude, because his form hasn't been sensational of late, but I don't think this field is fantastic, and I just have a feeling that the course might suit him.
Yeah, I can see that. Matteo Manassero, 25-1 in the betting. I'm going with Tom Lewis as my headline selection here, but only going half a point each way on Lewis. He's 80-1 this week, Tom Lewis, and he's steadily finding his form again. I reckon this could be a good course for him, a good setup. Offers him a little bit of space off the tee here, and he was in position in the Wales Open before completely collapsing and missed the cut there, but he closed with 267s at Cran-sur-Cire to finish tied 15th, ranking 12th in greens in regulation, which could be important this week. He has, as we've commented on previous podcasts, gone and started working with Butch Harmon now, which I think will be beneficial for his career. Prior to his miscut in the Wales Open, he did finish 17th at the Johnny Walker Championship. I think at his best, Tom Lewis is a really top class talent, and 80-1 is a big price for a guy rediscovering his form now. So I'll go half a point each way on Tom Lewis.
Okay, I'm sticking with the man that I picked a few times lately, just because if he won, I'd be quite
Jacqueline.
Yes,
yeah,
Rafael Jacqueline. Am I that predictable? Yeah, I just think that he has good links form in recent years. He was 8th in the Scottish Open this year, 5th in Alfred Dunhill at the back end of last year, then 8th in the 2011 Open Championship. All great finishes. I'd have expected him to do better in the last couple of weeks at Glen Eagles and in Wales. Last couple of events he's played, I'd say. But that Scottish Open top 10 was just before that, so maybe he's got the rust out of his game, and I'm hoping that this course will bring out the best of Rafael Jacqueline. He was 26 here on his only start, which was back in, let me see, back in
2008,
where he had a very good final round. So he should, you know, have good memories of this course. He's a quality player. Again, 66-1 in this field seems a big price on him for me. He's a winner, like Manassero won this year in Spain. I really think he could go well this week. He's actually been threatening to do well the last couple of weeks, which is silly little mistakes, so just bumping him out of contention. So I'm more than happy to give him a go at 66 in this field.
I'm going for the guy that finished second to him in that Open Day Spaniard.
Maximilian Kiefer?
Yeah, Maximilian Kiefer. Mm. Big prize this week, I think. 150-1 for the German. I think that Open Day Spaniard form is relevant coming into this championship, because that's played on a track where you need to control the flight of your golf ball. It has a little bit of a linksy feel to it. It's exposed. The wind plays a big factor at that golf course in Spain. And Kiefer did finish second there. That was that mammoth playoff, 9-hole playoff with Rafael Jacqueline. a quality player in the making, in my opinion, Maximilian Kiefer, and bounced back with a 13th last week, which was a really strong performance. 150-1. There's guys that are the same price as him that don't have the same profile as him. So Kiefer, my second and final selection, half a point each way at 150-1. Like the price.
Yeah, to be honest, Dave, he was two of the outsiders that I was going to mention. I get that form line with Chacalan from the Open de España earlier this year. Yeah, absolutely. He was on my mind. He was one of the final two players that I dropped out, actually. But no, I didn't pick him. I also looked at Lee Slattery, who's got very good course form, and but for the fact that his current form has just gone off the boil completely.
He has, hasn't he?
He would have been of interest. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him play well here. Maybe a top 10 or 20, but I couldn't quite get him into my selections, you know.
I had a couple of guys that I really looked long and hard at. I think Damien McGrain was probably the closest. 80-1, Damien McGrain. He finished 6th in the Wales Open recently. Mm. He's finished 3rd, 20th and 4th here. 3rd in 2006, 4th in 2009 and 20th in 2008 at this venue. Goes with the link with the British Isles players performing well here as well. 80-1.
He'd have a chance,
Damien McGrain. He's not a proven winner, and B, not even proven when in contention, though. You know, it's just that you've got to balance that out. Lewis, at least, is a recent winner on tour. That's why he shaded it at the same price for me. Paul Waring, I think's interesting at 80-1 as well. He's got a progressive profile, Paul Waring, and I think he'll be suited by this golf course as well.
Yeah. Shane Lowry I was looking at, but then I didn't like the price. You'd have to say Dyson would have a chance here, given his form, but his odds are very, very short.
Yeah.
Joost Luton, I think.
I thought you'd have gone for Joost Luton
in his
this
home
week.
Open. Yeah, I know he has a second here, but that you referenced earlier, but he also has missed 3 out of 4 cuts at this track. So,
yeah. They were in his younger days. You think he plays here in 2007 as an amateur?
Yeah, and finished second. So, you'd have to respect Joost. In fact, you'd have to respect him anyway, because he's a real coming force in the European game. I think he's definitely one of the more progressive players, and I like him wherever he plays. So he was on my mind, but I just thought Manassero, to me, is a better player, and those extra 5 points just made me look towards the Italian rather than the home man. Chris Wood is also someone that likes links, plays well in opens. I think he's here about 40-1, Dave.
33s,
yeah. Just disappointed a little bit with his play over the weekend last time out, so yeah. I left him out, but they were the main ones on my mind.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered everyone. I agree with you in terms of Simon Dyson's price, obviously.
And got incredible, short, isn't
yeah, it? Got incredible course form. Both those guys look a little bit short at the head they of the do, betting to do. Me. Yeah, both at 16
could
to
both
1.
Win, but you know that's not the point, is it?
The BMW Championship next. The third of the FedEx Cup events, looking forward to the Tour Championship at Eastlake. We've got to whittle this field down from 70 to 30 next week for that lucrative end-of-season event at Eastlake. We're at a different venue this week. A venue that a lot of these players won't have seen before, playing at Conway Farm Golf Course. Luke Donald's a member here, and this golf course has hosted some illustrious amateur events. The 1997 NCAA Division I Championship, 1998 US Junior Amateur, and later the 2009 Western Amateur, in which Patrick Reed, who plays here, made the semi-finals, and the 2012 US Mid-Amateur, as well as sectional qualifying for the 2008 US Open. But there are a lot of players in this field that won't have seen the golf course before this week, but it looks like from what I've seen and read about the place, Mike, it looks like it's going to provide an entertaining championship.
Well, that much I don't know yet. I know that it could be windy and that you're meant to be fairly accurate off the tee, but we are slightly blind to this in my mind.
Yeah.
I admire your optimism, but we don't know, do we? Well, I don't anyway. It'd be interesting to see how the players take to it, but all that I've read suggests that you know you do need to have a little bit of accuracy off the tee, So it won't be a bomber's course, I don't think.
Yeah.
And there's a slight linksy feel to this course, isn't there, apparently?
There is. Yeah, Tom Fazio designed the course.
Yeah.
It opened in 1991, and from what I've read about the place, it's not, like you said, it's not a particularly long golf course. No. Measures around about 7,200 yards. But Tom Fazio was trying to pay homage to the Scottish Lynx game, wasn't he, when designing this golf course. So,
yeah.
The fairways are definitely rolling. There's a lot of heather on the golf course, some pot bunkers on the golf course as well.
Mm.
But it's a mixture of long par, some reasonably long par fours measuring over 450 yards, and then a couple of par fours that they can have a little bit of fun with, move the tees up and make them drivable for the golfers.
Yeah, no, it's Mark Wilson. I was reading, he's lives quite near here, I think, and he said it's a game where it's a course where anyone could win. It's not.
Yeah.
He couldn't pick out a type of player that would go well. He hasn't qualified for this, unfortunately, because he'd have had a very good chance, I guess. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I've only got the two bets because of that day, because you know we're slightly shooting in the dark, but the prices I've gone for are worth having a little crack.
Maybe I'll be better in the dark.
Maybe. Have you got your infrared spec?
Yeah, that's it. That's
or whatever
it.
They're called.
Tigers 5-1 to win the event. Tiger.
Good old Tiger. Where's he been?
Adam Scott 12-1. Henrik Stenson 12-1. Phil Mickelson 14-1. Justin Rose is 18-1. Matt Kuchar, Rory McIlroy, and Steve Stricker all 20-1, and it's 25s. And bigger the rest. You know who I've gone for?
No.
I've gone for Jordan Spieth.
Oh, again. Of course you would have, yes.
I've gone for Jordan Spieth.
It's a
again.
Tuesday, you've gone for Jordan Spieth.
I just can't resist. I mean,
the stick I used to get about Bill Haft.
I just can't. I can't not pick him.
It's a bromance thing.
He's provided my only place for the last few weeks. So, he's riding a crest of a wave at the moment.
He's
Jordan
in good
Spieth.
Form. I'll give you that.
Got the pick. Got the captain's pick for the something we're not talked about actually. The captain's picks for the President's Cup.
Yep.
Spieth and Simpson. Agree with those?
Spieth, yes. Simpson could be playing better, couldn't he? Maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Dustin Johnson misses out. Jim Furyk misses out.
Yeah.
Questionable pick, I think.
Yeah,
I'd have gone with Dustin Johnson, I think.
Possibly, yes. Simpson hasn't been firing on all cylinders. He's threatened this year to be playing a bit better. But Jordan Spieth, I think, was a good call, particularly with next year's Ryder Cup in mind. They've got to get some young players who are not scarred by the memories of Ryder Cup defeats, haven't they?
I think that might be a reason for not going with Furyk. Because Furyk's obviously got that terrific record at Muirfield Village, but you're not building for the future with Furyk.
No, exactly.
I like Spieth.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Hmm. One thing you mentioned when we were talking about the championship and the demands needed here, or we think the demands needed here, driving the ball well, and Spieth does drive the ball absolutely brilliantly. He's seventh in total driving. Not the longest off the tee, but he's very, very accurate. Second at the Wyndham, followed by a tie 19th at the Barclays. Then that exceptional 62 to finish tied fourth at the Deutsche Bank. Seventh total driving, third in the all-around. Obviously playing exceptional golf. I think he's undoubtedly the best rookie to come through the college ranks in many years on the PGA Tour, and I'm willing to give him a go this week, despite it may be looking like a prohibitive price to some at 25-1.
It is a bit short, that, isn't it? There's only 70 runners, I suppose.
There's only 70 runners, and he's playing exceptionally well.
He is. I'll tell you, someone else is playing exceptionally well.
Go on.
And he's 40-1. It's my old chum, Jim Furyk, the aforementioned Jim Furyk.
Okay.
Whose form figures are pretty excellent at the moment. A ninth in Canada and at Bridgestone. Then a second in the PGA. Ouch. Then a sixth in the Barclays. And then a 27th last time out in the Deutsche Bank, where he just had a poor last round, which dropped him down. He's in the top 10 going into the final day. But I wouldn't read too much into that. Unlike Spieth, who was flattered by a closing good score under no pressure. Jim Furyk just dropped his hands a little bit.
That's a surprise for Jim Furyk, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to win, was he?
No,
let's
he wasn't. Honest. He wasn't.
He didn't drop his hands in the PGA, to give him his due. Third in driving accuracy this year, Dave, and 22nd in greens of regulation, as you'd expect. Furyk is a good ball striker. Has always been a player I thought can play well in the wind. So I'm going to give him a chance here at 40s. I think he's a decent price, given there's only 70 runners. He's from Pennsylvania originally, which is not that far from Illinois, so familiar with the type of courses in the north east of the US. So, yeah, I think he's overpriced at 40s in this field, Dave, just on that last round performance at the Deutsche Bank. If he'd hit four or five shots less, I'd guess he'd be about 25-1 as well. So I'm more than willing to give him a chance at that. It could be a course that suits him.
Jim Furyk, your headline pick?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, I'm going with Chris Kirk as my second selection.
Yeah, that's really strange, because he's my... There's only one player I've got on my list that I haven't mentioned and that I haven't picked, and it was him, so he's my third. Okay. I haven't picked him, but... Yeah, go on.
That's interesting. He actually played here in US Open sectional qualifying.
Yep. Yep.
In 2008, and
so did the guy I picked, as it happens. So,
did he really?
Yeah, so I'll come on to that. But yes, Chris Kirk was exceptionally close.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of a poor spell, but came back with a tied 16th at the Deutsche Bank after that poor run. His stats measure up well for around this golf course, I think, especially if... I mean, his driving accuracy is the one negative here, but he did drive the ball better at the Deutsche Bank. And he's 23rd in the all-around this season, 15 strokes gained putting, 4th in scoring average. He's 31st in the standings, right on the bubble.
Ooh, yeah.
So there's a little bit of little bit more incentive to play well this week. And he's floating under the radar, Chris Kirk, so I'll go with him 100-1, and I'll play half a point each way.
Yeah, I'll have to back him, Dave, because I've only written three players down, and he's one of them. My second pick is DA Points.
Wow.
At 200-1, which I think is a remarkably good price, potentially.
You could say all those guys at 200-1 or bigger in a 70-runner field to get to the final 70 are good bets this week.
Yeah, there's a lot. How many? 156 normally, so 86 players less than usual.
Yep.
I don't understand how a guy who can win in Houston, be second in New Orleans, and he's in reasonable form, can be such a big price. He did miss the cut in the Deutsche Bank last time out, but the only start before that, Dave, was 6 in the Barclays. So he's 200-1 in a 70-runner field. He played in that same sectional that Kirk played in. They finished second and third, I think,
yeah,
in 2008. Now, it wouldn't be the strongest field ever, but at least they've played a couple of competitive rounds at the course. It's got to be an advantage, hasn't it, you would expect. More to the point, DA Points is originally from Illinois. He doesn't live there now. I think he lives in Florida like they all do, but he is an Illinois native, so...
There's a little bit of jealousy in that. I think they all live in Florida now, as if to say, I wish I was living in Florida.
Yeah, well, absolutely. is it warmer than Leeds?
Just a little bit.
He has, in truth, missed half his cuts this season. That's the negative. He is a bit in and out. Yeah, that kind of proves it. 6 in Barclays, then missed the cut in Deutsche Bank. That sums up his season to a degree. But at 200-1, I think he's an exceptional price at that, Dave. He could run really well, and he's got a win at Pebble Beach, hasn't he? Won at Pebble Beach last year, which is another windy course, So you grew up in Illinois, you must be able to play in windy conditions. So I'm going to give DA Points a pick this week at 200-1, point each way.
Okay. Okay, DA Points at 200-1. That's something I meant to mention when talking about Jordan Spieth as well. I don't want to keep harking back to this guy, but he's been playing on golf courses all year long that these players have played numerous occasions.
Oh, yes.
This is a little
fair
bit
point.
Of a levelling factor for him this week, maybe.
Yeah. They're all... Well, most of them are new to it. I think Harris English has played here.
Yeah, Patrick Reed, as I mentioned.
Yeah. Donald certainly played here, Luke Donald.
Bant Snedeker has played here as well. Donald's interesting, isn't he?
Kind of his home course, isn't it?
It is 40-1, Luke Donald, but he's shown very little this season, hasn't he? He must be devastated with the way he's played, really.
Disappointing season for Luke Donald. He needs to finish the season in some style to really... get away out of 2013 with his head held high. He'll be disappointed.
Yeah. What do you make of the market leaders then? Tiger Woods, 5-1?
Yeah, it's very short price, isn't it? He's winning recently on courses that he's won lots of times, and this doesn't obviously fit the bill at all in that regard. But he's a great player. It is hard to make a case for these players at such short prices on a new course, I think, because we don't really know quite to expect. So I'm happy to take 40-1 and 200-1 about players. Do I want to take 5-1, 10-1 about people like Mickelson and Stenson and what have you? No, I don't.
No, that's fair comment. So you only had three players on your list. A couple that I want to mention. Graeme Delatt, who's in terrific form at the moment. Great ball striker. You look at his statistics, he's looking like the best ball striker on tour at the moment, Graeme Delatt. He's finished second and third in his last two FedEx Cup.
He's not looking better than Stenson.
No, he's not quite looking better than Stenson.
I can't let you have that one.
He's finished second and third in two FedEx Cup appearances so far, which is
pretty
impressive.
He is hitting the ball well, though.
He is hitting the ball very well. Justin Rose, I think, is going to go well. All eight rounds he's played in the FedEx Cup so far, all under par. Justin Rose, great driver of the golf ball, which I think might be important this week. He's the one at the header, right at the head of the betting. I mean, I've gone for Spieth at 25. So he's 18-1. That I think's the most dangerous man at the head of that market.
Justin Rose. It'll be interesting to see how it plays, Dave. We'll all be avidly watching the first round, I guess, just to see. You know, what the course really is like and how it does play. I suppose if I was going to mention anyone else, it's my old favourite, not Bill Haas, but Gary Woodland, who, you know, in his last four events has two moderate finishes, but a first and a second. You know, if this course is more suitable for longer hitters than we think it will be, and it could be, then Woodland would look big at 80s, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
On that form, a first and second in his last four outings. You know, it's pretty decent for an 82-1 shot.
Yeah.
So we're surmising that the long hitters, the bombers, won't be particularly suited. But going back to what Wilson said, he said any sort of player could win. So maybe it's just the guy who drains his puts the best. We'll see.
Yeah, and it could be about course management as well. He has set up these little bunkers, creeks, that sort of thing. Tom
Scrambling Fazio might be important,
I think it's going to be a fascinating event to see how the golf course shapes up and how the players adapt to a new test. So I'm looking forward to the BMW Championship this week. Your bets must be on your pre-tournament bets by 12:30 on Thursday afternoon. In the KLM Open, your bets must be on by 6:45 a.m. on Thursday morning. Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
Chris Wood probably in the European, and Chris Kirk probably in the BMW, although I'll have to back him now, won't I? They'd be the ones that were very, very close for me.
I'd go with Justin Rose, definitely in the BMW Championship, as the guy that I don't want to win. And it'd have to be Damien McGrain, I think, in the KLM Open. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter. The elusive Twitter bet might be cited this week, perhaps.
I think it might, Dave, to be fair, because we've not gone mad pre-tournament, and you definitely want to be having a look during the tournament. As you say, you've got to get your bets on by a certain time, but you don't really, do you?
Because
you'll be betting throughout all 4 days of both tournaments. So, you know, lump on those selections that we've had already, and if you need to get out of trouble, have a bet on Saturday.
That's it, all Sunday. It's at D. Kellner and at M.
Gamble responsibly, actually. Don't lump on. That was a joke.
I put the jingle at the end.
Put the jingle on, Dave, so we don't get in any trouble with the authorities.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do, and of course you can follow a Golf Twitter Tipster as well, golftwittertipster.co.uk and at Golf Twit Tipster. And we're coming towards, we're sort of drawing towards the end of the season, aren't we? Even though the golfing season never seems to end, we're getting towards the end of the PGA Tour season anyway.
Well, no, it's the start.
Yeah.
It's almost the start of the PGA season,
it's ridiculous.
Isn't it?
I'm lost. I still don't know who's qualified for next year. I know,
no, it's confusing, isn't
it? Talking about Bud Cawley playing in the Web.com Tour events. I haven't got a clue who's in the top 1, 2, 5. I know these guys are obviously doing well.
They're in the BMW
Championship this week. I've not got a clue who's going to be there on the first day of school next year.
Well, and next year starts pretty soon, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Because there's obviously Eastlake to come, and then the 2013/14 season.
McGladrey Classic, those
they're all in
events.
Next season now, aren't they? Yeah. So, no rest. We might get Christmas Day off.
Maybe. Fingers crossed, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week. The BMW Championship and the KLM Open, two quality events. And hopefully you enjoy them. I've been Dave Kellner, he's been Mike Grenham, and we'll speak to you soon.
Come on, DA Point.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.